Let's take a look through the window of baseball for Trout and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you today?
Doing well, Marty. What's going on?
Well, I'm down here, and I must tell you, you know, Bruce, in our lifetime, you and I'd hate to add up how many games we've seen, but last night, I'll tell you, it took the cake last night, the way this thing ended up, and I don't know, just your thoughts about it.
Well, I mean, I think the number one thing on everyone's mind, despite the win, was the sight of Castillo facing Lamb. You know, you see the stat, he's 3-for-7 with 3 homers. And I was looking at a friend of mine because Castillo hasn't been hitting his spots for several outings, and you knew he was going to miss his target. And we both said, this ball's going out of the yard. I've never felt so certain that somebody was going to at least crush the ball. And he did. I mean, you could see Vosi in the dugout just kicking himself. I mean, it was just an unbelievable. It's the first time really ever that I've unconditionally questioned a move that Bochy made. I didn't think Casilla should have seen the field last night. If went 100 innings, he had millions of relievers, because he talked about, you know, going to the committee. And admittedly, it was an extra inning game, and things get crazy. I mean, we hit a pitcher in left field, for heaven's sakes. But they survived it. And what I take most out of it is the unbelievable Crawford to Posey connection. Throwing out Owings at the plate, just a perfect throw from the outfield, and an amazing short hop swipe tag by Posey, and then the great, great catch by Pence into the right field corner, smashing up against the fence, and you know, he and the bullpen guys yelling at each other. It was just such a great moment. I mean, they're playing so hard, and that, I think, is what you take away really more than anything.
I want to tell you something. You know, when you watch it here, and I know TV is a wonderful way for exciting moments of baseball, but Owings was never stopping.
No. That
coach was waving him, Bruce, when he got to second base. That arm started windmilling it.
Because and he should they have
know, him. Yeah, well, they know Span's arm. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, it took a perfect throw by Crawford. I mean, it only could have been more perfect if it went on the fly, but... you know, it took that kind of a play to get him. I thought it was a great call by the third base coach. But, you know, Span, that was the genesis of it, was we're going to take advantage of Span here, and they did. But it was like the great Reggie Jackson to Dick Green to Sal Bando, that cutting down Bill Buckner was a great idea, but perfection stopped it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was the tag by Posey, that scoop.
Yeah, the tag. And, was unbelievable.
And you know, Crawford was out there in center field. This wasn't deep shortstop. He was out there.
Yeah, he was way out there. I mean, it just threw a rocket. Right, just dead center.
Looked like a quarterback. I tell you,
honestly,
it was the deafness of a quarterback. That's what it looked like to me. Boy, pretty exciting. Then, of course, now Bochy learns the lesson, and many agree with you that Casillas shouldn't even seen the field.
No.
And really, sitting up here with Andy and Henry and Alex and Chris and, you know, everybody's just flabbergasted because everyone thought they'd bring in the lefty. But then he goes and gets Corey Guerin, and he puts him in left field, and here we are again. It's back to Paul Richards and Joe Maddon. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and I'm telling you, we're going to see more of this.
Well, one thing I like about Bochy is that he'll do anything, and even something he's never done before, or something he's never done in that kind of a circumstance, because he just feels like it's the right moment. He didn't want to lose Guerin. He wanted him to come back in the game, and the only way to do that is stash him somewhere. And I love Guerin saying that he was praying the ball would be hit to him. Ideally, he could just lay out and make a fantastic catch, you know. But there's a lot of character on that team. There really is. They've been playing so badly, but they just refuse to let that be their identity, because there's still enough time to make it right, and they got the Mets and the Cardinals barking at them, and it's going to be a great finish.
Yeah, and Guerin's comment was, they want me to play straight up. What's that?
Not familiar with the outfield lore there.
No, I like that one. That was a good one. But, and, you know, I want to tell you another guy who last night had a big moment. That was Joe Nathan. Joe Nathan had the winning run on third with less than two out, and he had a huge strikeout. I mean, and he showed something last night, Bruce. I'm telling you, he throws 92, 93.
Yeah, he's still throwing hard, which is so great after two Tommy Johns. I mean, and it was great for him because he was in a big spot, you know, previously, and it didn't work out for him at all. But, you know, they brought him up here for a reason, because they still think he can pitch, and And he got kind of back in the picture there, which, you know, they're going to need him. I mean, I think we'll see him in some ninth-inning situations.
Well, they're going to need him in this series because, as I said earlier in the show, Arizona doesn't have any lefties. So just to, if you get in these tight games, you got to go start going through six. You're going to go through six. If your guy goes six innings, what happens? You're going to need six righties to get the last nine outs.
Well, didn't Arizona use 12 pitchers last night?
Yeah, they won off the major league record of 13, and they set their team record last night.
Yeah,
it was really.
I heard some talk about limiting the amount of pitchers that can be employed and be active in these days of expanded rosters, and I'm all for it. I don't like having 11 and relievers or 12 at your disposal and using them all. I mean, it's too many pitching changes. It really is.
Yeah, and for Joe Garagiola Jr. was here last night and in charge of the pace of game and all that stuff. So the best news he could get is that it went into extra innings and then you don't count it.
Yeah, things have changed so much. I mean, the relief pitchers, there's so many good ones now. I was listening to a Vin Scully broadcast from 1959. Vin Scully is all over the news now, as he should be. And there was a record album called Dodgers 59 from that season, some great Vin Scully calls. And it was the night of Koufax striking out 18 Giants. Mm-hmm. And it came to the ninth inning, and the game was tied. And after 17 Ks, the last guy he got in that inning was Jack Sanford. The pitcher, Rigney let him hit for himself in that situation. I mean, that's how far we've come.
Yeah, different world.
Yeah.
Boy, Bruce Jenkins with us. Always good to catch up with Bruce. Now, the other thing I want to stress to everybody, and you and I have been doing this since the beginning of spring training together every Saturday and Sunday, it still is Giants-Dodgers. You know, people cannot lose sight of this thing. There's 22 to go. There are four separating them. They've got six between them. You think the wild card has all of a sudden become, you know, the focus of everything, but the giant Dodger thing is incredible, and here we are again.
Well, yeah, it's great that it's down to four. I mean, five is tough, and you know, three or four straight days of five, and you wonder if it's going to happen. But now, you know, if they can get it to two when they play that first series against the Dodgers in L.A., that's just going to be great. Or even if they're within three or four, but I mean, you can't let it get to five or six because it's too much work to be done. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll see if Rich Hill can beat the Marlins tonight. No guarantee there. And you got Cueto pitching. It could be three after this day's over.
Yeah, and it's Giants-Dodgers. The people forget, you know, there's 22 to go, Giants-Dodgers. This is what the DNA is of these two teams. They fight each other to the end, and that's the way it works.
Yeah, believe me, they're not going to forget it when they start playing each other.
No.
It'll be right up front burner again.
Boy, very good. Bruce, a couple of things in the news this week that you and I want to touch on. And one is Tim Tebow. What do you think of all that?
Well, I mean, it seems pretty unlikely that he's a big league player. He doesn't look right throwing the ball, oddly enough, for a quarterback. He's got a big, powerful swing, but it seems like he'd be vulnerable to, you know, there's so many, some guys have like five different pitches they throw. I mean, he's not going to have a chance against that. And it's a PR move. It's going to really spice up interest in the team. They're always looking for an edge over the Yankees, even if it's, you know, December. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it's harmless. I mean, I'm not offended by it. But it's going to be a bit of a sideshow for that instructional league team. And, you know, as much as he's a mentor maybe to guys in terms of just basic comportment and athletic character, I'm not sure how much all these other guys are going to enjoy, you know, 68 riders around Tebow and nobody giving a damn about them.
Well, of all the places to end up, it's New York. And he's got the Brooklyn Cyclones next year at Coney Island. I mean, of all the places, couldn't he sign with Kansas City?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's already gone through it with the Jets. I mean, good grief. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not spending a lot of time thinking about Tebow because I don't think it's going to lead to anything.
All right, what about the Mets and Yankees? And here's, again, why we love this time of year, September baseball. Mets have won six straight. They got three pitchers that, we saw Lugo out here. The other two we've never heard of. And the Yankees all of a sudden have the youth movement. And it's interesting. I get your take on the Yankees because when we talk about the Yankees, you think of Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. It's there a long time ago. These kids that come up don't know that stuff. They're just here to play baseball, and they're getting it done.
Yeah, I just love everything that's going on with the Yankees. Oh, my gosh, they have so many good young players. And, you know, the veteran group they had was to me, was getting to be a really tired look with A-Rod, Teixeira, and Sabathia, and McCann. And it's just, you know, just even Gardner. I mean, just change it, you know, and they really did. I mean, they changed it radically. They made some big trades for Chapman and Miller. They've got, you know, kids for Frazier and Torres. These guys have really hot prospects. Gary Sanchez is still hitting about 340. Made an amazing throw from his knees last night. The catcher, this catcher is taking the Yankees in New York by storm. I mean, I love it. I love that it's the changes happen so fast. And I saw the New York Press writing off the team last week saying, well, this is great, but it's all about the future. Meanwhile, I think they're like one game out of the wild card.
Yeah, yeah. And these guys don't know.
What if they make it the playoffs?
Yeah, they don't know about Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. And they don't know about Monument Park. They're just kids who came up to play. I'm telling you, it's different. There's something different about this. Hey, Rick Porcello wins his 20th game last night for Boston. He's now 20-3. And he's got an .870 winning percentage, and that number 20-3, to get that kind of winning percentage, it doesn't happen that much in baseball. I'm going to give you the list of pitchers who have done it: Ron Guidry, Lefty Grove, Cliff Lee, Preacher Rowe, who was 22-3, Max Scherzer, Kershaw, and here's your favorite, Smokey Joe Wood.
I did bring him up last week, I think.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Well, who can forget when you and I had lunch with Smokey Joe when he was rookie year?
There was a Smokey Joe's Cafe in Berkeley. You know that. So,
yeah, of course.
Smokey Joe and David Cohn and Clemens, and Porcello's in that list. How about that?
You know, it's great. I mean, I really can't stand people denigrating the win, you know, saying that it's not a legitimate stat. I mean, admittedly, a reliever can be unhittable, and he's 1-3. And meanwhile, a guy who's 8-2 has been basically been getting rocked. But it still doesn't. It doesn't diminish. Nothing diminishes the quality and the value of a win for the player, for the team, for morale. I mean, it reaches a point. If you're 20-3, you're a winner.
Yeah,
you win. They win when you pitch. Yeah. So don't tell me that doesn't mean anything. These guys are completely out of their minds. And 20 wins is always going to be magical, especially within the game. I mean, you can sit around, you know, the parlor and talk about these stats, but if you don't go in the clubhouse and say 20 wins doesn't mean anything, because they'll laugh you right out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing for you. Kelby Tomlinson, Bruce, a couple of game-winning hits. And I look at him, I see Duffy. I see that kind of ball player that'll do anything to win a game, and he controls his swing, and all you need is a base hit, and he gets it.
As soon as you mentioned his name, I thought Duffy, and I think it kind of eases the pain of losing Duffy a little bit, because he's that kind of player. He's a real smart line drive hitter, runs like the wind. He's one of the fastest guys in their whole system. Great to see him back. He's an unlikely looking character, but he plays the game smart. And, you know, he had some fielding problems early, but he's not an unreliable guy out there. It's great to see him back, and he's gonna be an important piece on this team.
He doesn't say anything.
No.
He just plays. I like that. The guy doesn't say anything. If you interview him, you know, you got to work with him. But he comes up there, Bruce, he's got that look in his eye, and you don't have to hit a home run. There's a big field out there, and he picks his spots. I like it.
Yeah, that's very Giants, you know, going the other way. I mean, Posey and Panic and Pence and Duffy, and it's just something that they do, and it's a wonderful thing to see.
All right, great to have you on today. What's up with you? Do you have football today?
Yeah, my next-door neighbors have daughter's a sophomore at University of Washington, so all of a sudden we've been following that team, and they're coming up here right away at 2 o'clock. We're going to watch that, and then I'm going to write off the Cal game tonight at 7:30. Unfortunately, with our budget, I can't actually be in San Diego. So I'll be writing about the Cal Bears from that unique perspective you get in Montero, California.
Very good. Very good. All right. Love having you on. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, Marty. Thanks.
Have a good afternoon. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.